To begin, welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right, Movie the Podcast. It's a two-man jammer today.
Man experience, the two-man man jam.
The two-man man jam. Two of That's the oldest right. cast members of the show are here today to talk to you about.
Yeah, we are two of the oldest members of just the website in general. We predate Movie the Podcast.
Yeah, we are.
We're back. Oh. We go all the way back to when Mohole was just a show on TalkShoe. You remember that?
TalkShoe. Yes, we used to have live callers, and they would call in. God. And it was a moment weird. In it time was fucking that happened. Weird.
Somehow yeah. I used to talk for like 2.5 hours on those fucking things. I don't even.
Yeah,
know
you how. Were a real Don Imus.
Yeah, that's me. I'm a real man cow.
Real man. Yeah, real.
Yeah.
Love Sponge.
Bubba the Love. What happened? Is that guy still alive? Is
I believe Love so. He was all, probably also at the RNC. He probably is the one that introduced Terry Bollea.
He's absolutely a Trump guy. I haven't bothered.
When you're out of your mind, how could he not be?
Yeah. I haven't thought about Bubba the Love Sponge in like 10 years. Actually, well, when was the Hulk Hogan trial?
The Hulk Hogan trial, it was 2010, where he admitted that Terry Bollea does in fact not have a 10-inch penis.
10-inch penis, yeah.
And Hulk Hogan does.
Didn't he fucked Bubba the Love Sponge white, he did, right?
Upon his request, and I believe on the marital bed they shared.
Oh god.
Yeah, but now a lot has happened since then. So now we've had an assassination attempt on President Trump. And Joe Biden woke up one morning and realized he don't want to do this no more. So now.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God. Now, this is a perfect time to announce, but Goggs and I are actually on the Democratic ticket. We're running.
Yeah, we're thinking about it. It's going to be.
We haven't decided who's going to be the vice president and the president, but we'll
figure
it out.
Who's topping and who's bottoming that ticket? We don't know yet.
It's going to be TJ and Goggs. Goggs in smaller font in a Jokerman font.
The vice president.
This
president. Best boy.
That's a good Tim and Harry sketch.
It's a classic.
The presidential
banger.
Sketch. Yeah.
Yes, queen.
Anyway, so this week just to let you guys know, we were going to review map to the stars, right? Yeah, I keep saying of the stars. It's to the stars. But that excuse me, that's Sean's pick, and Sean couldn't make the show this week, and a little bit of inside baseball. I kind of hate doing the show when we do the show and it's the person's pick and they're not on the show.
He needs to be part of this. This was
also, we want to make him suffer because he can't get away from watching. Map to the Stars is fucking horrible.
It might be one of the worst things watched. And that's not hyperbole. That is like,
no, it's really fucking bad. And I'm kind of dreading talking about it, to be honest.
Yeah.
So Sean couldn't be a part of the show. Alec is on vacation. So we decided to punt. Goggs and I went to the movies yesterday, and we're going to do a rare, if you've seen the title of the episode, you already know what we're doing. But we're doing a rare in the theaters now.
Suck each other off.
Yeah, hell yeah. We're going to do a current movie as our review. We're reviewing Oz Perkins, Long Legs. That's the feature presentation this week. Which I'm excited to talk about because let me ask you a question, guys.
Sure.
I feel like, you know, pre-Movie the Podcast days, you know, we would watch a film and we would have like pretty lengthy discussions about the film. But do you feel, because I feel this way, do you feel that you purposely reserve things you're going to say because of the show? Because I do. I feel like I genuinely do.
I will say that I have been trained now to do so because as much as I love engaging in conversation with my friends, I feel like I will be immediately told to save it for the show.
Save it for the show.
So I will just sit there in silence with things to say and simply waiting for the opportunity to do so because I don't feel like being told otherwise, I agree that we used to, you know, but there was a time when I was so broken hearted That you don't like that Aerosmith song? Get the fuck out of here.
So, I hate Aerosmith, like, full stop.
Get a Grip. That's a fun album. It was so edgy. It had a cow teat on
there. Cow teat on it, yeah. There was some kid with learning disabilities that went to our high school that always wore that shirt.
But no,
that's what I always think about when I think about that album.
But you know what? You bring up a good point, though, because it used to be, like, we used to exit a theater.
Oh, yeah. And we would
stand in the parking lot for a good 30 or 40 minutes.
If not longer,
and, like, sometimes. And, like when... Or sometimes we went and got, like, food afterwards.
I was going to say, like, sometimes we'd... I feel like the post-movie dinner or drinks, and those conversations would go on forever. I mean, hell, when we used to live together, those conversations could last days.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot to unpack.
If you haven't learned from 7,000 episodes of the show, we're movie guys. We do enjoy movies. So
talking about maybe movies, not Sean anymore, but I still love
some movies. Of these days, to be perfectly honest. I mean, sometimes like Map of the Stars.
Bad.
I feel like it's a little different. Now, the other thing is that we don't see, I mean, you know, we all got stuff to do. We don't see as many movies together as we used to. I feel like we always used to go to the movies together. You and I.
Like life's gotten in the way, and then there's COVID, and COVID put a damper on it for a minute there. And now, I remember, it's not just sitting here bullshitting and reminiscing. I'm trying to remember, what's the first movie I went back? I think I saw, I want to say it was a Spider-Man. One of the Tom Holland Spider-Mans was my first foray back into
the theater. I have a good one, which I've said on the show, but you probably don't remember.
What is that?
the movie that got me out of my house for COVID was Spiral from the Book of Saul. That was the first movie I saw post, like, COVID lockdown. So terrible.
Wait, when did No Way Home come out? I think it was that, because it was...
Dude, I don't remember.
Spider-Man No Way Home came out. It was released in December of 21. That was probably it.
That's probably it.
It was a 2021... I know that I saw nothing in the theater from March of 2020 until sometime into 2021, and I'm almost sure that was the one that got me back out there. And it's been, I mean, like, it's fun to go back to theaters. Like, I still enjoy the theater experience. The theater we saw this movie in, quite nice.
Yeah. It's weird, though. They're in the middle of this weird transition from being a Regal to being a Cinemark, and it feels like they're, like, half done, but they just kept it open anyway, and it's kind of weird.
I will say, the ticket purchasing experience, not my favorite.
They took out the self-takeout checkout machines, which every theater has, and it's, like, very annoying. We had to wait in line for what seemed like 15 minutes to get our fucking tickets. What did you watch this week, Gogs? Well, last week, too, because we didn't do a show last week.
Well, Jesus, I've been...
You've been out gallivanting. You've been on
vacation. Yeah, I was out. I was out in the mix. Let's just start with things I've watched that were not necessarily movies, but it's something I watched. Not necessarily movies. I finished, Liz and I finished Schitt's Creek. We got through the end, the last season of that. I adore that show. That show is really good. It is up there for me with, like, a Parks and Rec or a 30 Rock. As far as a comedy with heart, like, it's not like an Always Sunny, right? Like, it's just joke after joke after joke. But with a comedy with, like, a lot of heart, I really, really enjoyed it. And it ended on such, like, a beautiful, bittersweet note. Like, I really, really liked it.
It's done.
No, it's been done. I think the last season was probably 10 years ago. So, like...
Oh, Jesus.
It's
the way people talk about it, I thought it was, like, a current show. I didn't know that.
I think it's just had such staying power.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, no, never mind. Its last season was 2020, so it ended, like, it's not... It's, I mean,
that's
still
not,
ago.
Like, that's still, like, not, like, last year. That's a while ago.
No, it said, I think, it may have had a little bit of a resurgence when it came to Hulu, and then everyone was watching it through COVID, and it's since just keep going. I gotta pull up my Shudder. I was watching... Oh, I know what I watched.
Ooh.
I know what I watched.
Sounds exciting.
No, it's not. I think despite your warnings and waving me off of doing so,
what'd you watch?
I watched what's the fucking movie about the Yellow Brick Road?
Oh, you watched Yellow? It's called Yellow Brick Road.
Yellow Bricked Road.
Yeah, that movie sucks.
That movie is not good.
Now I know I brought it up. And you're a wild card when it comes to reading, because you do, like, you are, I would say, deceptively well read. You do read quite a bit. But have you read House of Leaves?
I have not read House of Leaves.
But
you were talking about this on the show, right? It's a book that's like
it's so fucking weird. But people have brought up, like, the reason I even watched Yellow Brick Road in the first place is because people kept saying, oh, it's the closest we're ever going to get to a House of Leaves movie. And after watching it, I totally disagree. Like, there's elements that are similar, but, like, it's not anywhere near. Did you agree with me that the production value of the movie just kind of destroyed your interest in them? Because, like, at certain points, the movie literally, like, to show that the ground is shaking, shakes the camera, and it's, like, so, like, it feels like you're watching, like,
it is
something on PBS.
So it's like, super weird. I think you brought this up on your review. Like, they fade out way too often. Oh, the
fade outs. Yeah, what is that?
It felt like a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
Like, and like, some of the stuff was actually, like, genuinely kind of interesting.
The story is not bad. Yeah, if somebody remade it, I think you could do something with it.
But, like, the interesting parts are sort of counteracted by the fact that the acting is trash.
So bad.
And, like, the direction is somehow worse.
Right?
So, there's this arcade bar not far from here where I'm like, as a concept, this works. But it needed a second or third or fourth pass. Like, there is a interesting concept here. But it is not good.
Yeah, as much as I'm against remakes, I think if somebody, like, a better filmmaker with a bigger budget remade this, I think there's something there.
Yeah, like, you could, like, there's something interesting here. But it's not, what they did do is not what I wanted to see. So yeah,
I hated it. I'm with you on that. I did not care for it at all.
I think what was the most frustrating thing is I was like, there could be something cool here, and you're pooching it. Like, there could have been something neat here, and you blew it. I love
you
it.
Blew it.
So there's that. I also yeah, but the coffee pot. I'm trying to pull up my video, my history, because I was on vacation, so we didn't do a whole lot of watching of much. I watched, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with my kids. I watched Spider-Verse with my kids. They still hold up. They still rule. None of that's really nothing new under the sun there. I did start, and I need to finish watching, and you may have seen this because we're both Shudder subscriptionaires.
That's true.
I started watching Chad Gets the Axe.
Never even heard of this one.
So it is, like, it's not, I don't think it's Shudder original, but, like, much like the Shudder original Dead Streaming.
Oh, I like that a lot. That was really good.
I really enjoyed Dead Streaming. Dead Stream was
a lot of fun. Like, Dead Stream was shockingly good. Enjoyed that.
Dead Stream was like a pleasant surprise, right? This is the same idea. It's.
We reviewed that. If you'd like to hear my extended thoughts on that movie, Chris and I reviewed that on the Dead Air Horror Review Show. You can check us out on YouTube. Go watch that.
Or don't. I refuse to promote other podcasts.
fair enough.
So this is similar. It's like the same idea. It's like social media influencers go to a haunted house, except now there's four of them, and the whole thing is done from the perspective of their phones. Like, you're watching the stream, and, like, even in movie, right? It's like, let's say two of them are together, they're like, okay, well, what's Steve doing? And they, instead of like, they, if he's not on screen with them, he's a different part of the house. You watch them tap their way over to his feet.
So they did a good job in like keeping it. Like they did, they didn't do the thing that I always hate where they like kind of constantly like break their own rules.
No. So, I mean, like I'm halfway through it, so I need to finish it. Like so far they have definitely maintained their rule set. Right.
I like that. You know how stickler I am for that kind of stuff.
I know. And then, you know, it's a valid point. Like if you're going to do this kind of like, if you're going to do this gimmick.
Yeah. Stick with it.
Stick with it. Right.
Prove
it,
the point. Like, to me, it's like you are going to, you're the one that chose to establish these rules. So mm-hmm. then it's your job as the filmmaker to abide by the rules that you already set. Like that's why it's funny because like, I hear people defend it all the time. Like, I heard somebody defend, I forget which movie it was, and it's like, well, again, they didn't choose, I think it was Late Night with the Devil, and it's like, well, I'm not the one that told them they had to adopt this aesthetic. This is what they went after, you know what I mean? Right. So why is it my fault that I'm being, you know, why are you not so critical of this stuff?
Like, it's not my fault it sucks.
Right. Well, that's just it, and I hate when people are like, well, it's not that bad, and it's like, listen to yourself. Why are you, like... Why do you settle for not that bad? Like, I don't get it. You were basically admitting that you had the same problem as me, but like for whatever reason, you just let it go.
You're giving it a pass, right?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
But so far, I'll have my full review of it next week. But so far, I'm interested. Like, I don't like anyone in the movie, but I don't think I'm supposed to.
Right, right,
right. Because like they're all doing the. Like,
it's like a bodies situation where all of
I still need to see that. I thought you watched it. No, not yet. I think Alex.
I think you might dislike the character so much it's going to turn you off to the movie, but it's kind of the point.
So, like they're doing that thing that I can't stand, but then they break sometimes, right? But they, you know how streamers have, like, streamer voice?
Oh, sure, sure.
And it's like, this is how we get... the Baden's finger. Like, it's always like up a top, then we bring it back down.
It's the YouTube talk.
Dude, I fucking hate it. Like,
you have younger kids, so all of the YouTube videos talk like that. Every single one.
But like, I'm like watching Elden Ring videos. That's the other thing, I'm playing a lot of Elden Ring. But like, you watch Elden Ring videos, and everyone's like, it's like, here's how you get the dragon's penis. And it's like, it just keeps going up, and then it comes down. And it's like,
I have a problem with like a lot of streamers. And a lot of like YouTube content because for whatever reason, there's probably some algorithm that says if you talk louder, that people pay attention. Cause like there's people, you go to videos sometimes on TikTok and YouTube and they're like screaming. It's like, why are you yelling? Stop yelling.
Please stop. But anywho, I'm going to finish watching that. So I'm interested in that. And then I wanted to talk to you about this cause we got time and who cares.
Yeah, well, I have plenty of time.
I would like to see if there's a way we can acquire it. Because I find it interesting, even though the reviews are bad.
Okay.
I want to watch that In a Violent Nature movie.
It's already on the Plex.
Oh, well, then perfect. Then I shall.
I hated it. I fucking hated it. Didn't we already talk? I talked about it on the show.
Oh, wait. Oh.
That goes back to my complaint because it doesn't follow its own rules. It immediately... Watch it. Go ahead. See what you think. I put it on the Plex so people can check it out. It's on there.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I might. I have a feeling you're gonna have the same problems I had because I found it incredibly boring and very repetitive. And the problem is that you know it's sold to you.
I mean, I heard it's bad.
It's sold to you as this is Friday the 13th from Jason's perspective. The problem is that they immediately not 5 minutes go by and like the camera's whipping around. And you hear things that are like 1,000 feet away that sound like they're in the next room. And it's like, well, what? Like, that doesn't make
sense. As you're saying this, now I remember your review of it. And
go watch it. I mean, go ahead. Check it out. I mean, what do I know, dude? We don't like all the same movies.
No.
But I mean, whatever. You might like it. The movie does have its defenders. In fact, what's kind of funny is my TikTok review of that movie, I made a guy so mad that he reverted to saying, after like 5 comments, he's like, I'm not listening to some guy with pink hair anyway. And I'm like, okay, thanks, man.
He lost the argument that bad.
It took you like 5 fucking comments. Also, like, Again, like, I don't argue with people's opinions on movies. Like, it's whatever. I don't really care. But like, he was like, he's like, this movie, he was calling me a hipster, basically. And he's like, this movie is universally praised. And I was like, 40% on Rotten Tomatoes is you're really stretching the definition of universal praise, but okay.
Yeah, I'd argue that that's not universal praise.
It is clearly not. But yeah, apparently I'm a hipster because I didn't like that movie. I mean, I've been called a hipster for a lot of things, but not liking that movie is a new one.
That's a fresh one. That's a fresh take. All right. Well, anyways.
But I don't know. Watch it. I'm interested. I'd be interested to see what you think about it.
I'm gonna give it a gander, as they
say.
I think that
the movie might be better as a lower stakes venture because you're just watching it on TV at home, whereas I went to the theater to go watch it.
Oh, you saw it? It got a theatrical release. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. Saw in the theater.
Even
me going to the theater is a lower stakes proposition because, of course, I am a list. Stubbs member from AMC.
You're Stubbers.
I get thanked every time I go to the theater. They thank me. Nicole Kidman thanks me. It's great.
I just realized two other things I watched.
Go ahead. I only watched one thing.
When Sean was in town, we sat down and me and him watched Furiosa together.
Had you not seen it before?
No, I saw it in the theater with you.
That's right. I forgot.
But I revisited it. And it still kicks a pile of ass.
I love it. It's so good.
It's super good. It's super duper good. And then I went and was like, you know what? Let's just go watch Fury Road.
Fury Road. Oh man.
Because why not?
Fury Road's so good.
God damn it.
That's one of my favorite movies. God damn, that movie is good. Like, period. I've watched that movie probably 15 times. Like, I love that movie.
Like, I know we've dissected that movie probably every which way you possibly can at this point, but like, they just think it's like little things that just make you like, Tom Hardy acts his fucking ass off in that movie without saying more than like, I don't know, 100 words.
He barely does anything in the whole movie, but it's perfect. I mean, it's absolutely perfect. I feel like, I don't know. You could, and I'm sure people do, but that is a movie that, like, that is a teachable movie, right? Like, there's so much to be learned from how Miller made that movie. I just think, like, I don't know. I just think that it's incredible. I think it's just absolutely incredible.
Two scenes. One, I think we've talked about a million times, and the other one is just something that I think I picked up on before, but I just truly appreciate it again in this watching. Well, actually, three scenes. The first three scenes. It's the first is when I think it's Splendid, like, saves them and like, hanging off the side.
I like how he says it too. Splendid. Every time Morton Joe talks, it's fucking awesome.
But he like Max is driving the war rig, and he like looks over and sees her, and he just gives like he looks at her, then he goes back to look at the road, and he just gives like a real subtle thumbs up. I'm like,
yeah,
perfect. And then the second one, the scene where they're in like the swamp area.
Yeah.
And he's like shooting at the bullet farmer in the dark, and he realizes he's not doing it, and Furious is like subtly coming up behind him. And then he sort of reluctantly, he's like, not even reluctantly, he's like, he acknowledges like they have one shot left, he hands her the rifle, and then he realizes she's
like the better person to make the shot, which is cool.
Like, but he stands there and just lets her like rest the rifle on his shoulder, like right by his face. And then after that shot, then he wanders off with just stuff. He's like, I'll be back. And then he comes back covered in blood, and they're like, is he okay? And then someone's like, that's not his
blood. It's not his blood. Yeah, I love that line. It's so good. Also, that fucking scene where the bullet farmer is like screaming, and they got like the fucking like classical music, and he's saying something about like, I am the conductor of death or something.
On the scales of justice and
God, it's so good. Like, it's so over the, I mean, all the Mad Max movies are like this, but like, it's so over the top in like the most perfect way it could possibly be. You know what I mean? Like, oh.
But you never witness Max Rockatansky in that movie, like, kicking ass. Like, he's driving and doing a great job, but you never watch him, like mix it up. Like, that one scene.
Yeah, that's true.
Off camera. Like, you just see the after effect. Like, you never actually see him, like,
mix but that's it, like that's like so much more impactful.
Oh, it's
like,
so perfect. It's good. It's like,
I feel like, I mean, well, he kind of kicks ass in the fist fight with Furiosa. I mean, that's pretty.
That shows his chops.
He does ultimately, like, he is kind of getting his ass beat by Furiosa in that too. That also is one of the things. Like, I mean, I obviously don't take a lot of stock into internet chuds and what they get mad about, but it's like people. I mean, again, I don't really think this is like valid criticism anyway. But they're like, "Oh, you can't have a Mad Max movie without Mad Max." It's like talking about Furiosa, and it's like, "Well, Furiosa is the main character in Fury Road. You're just too stupid to pay attention. Like, you don't understand.
Anyone thinks otherwise is a fucking moron.
You're not paying attention to the fucking movie. Like, you like again, people are fucking stupid as shit. But like, if your complaint is that there's more Furiosa story, it's like the movie is clearly designed around Furiosa. Like, that's why. I mean, again, like we talked about this before, but like George Miller intended to shoot the two movies at the same time.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's obvious when you watch Mad Max that there's more Furiosa story there. That's why the sequel, even late, still works, because it feels like cohesive. You know what I mean? Like,
no, Furiosa, the Furiosa rules. Mad
George
Max.
Miller, George Miller rules. Is one of those people that I'm kind of sad, because I mean, obviously. You know, all of our favorite filmmakers aren't getting any younger, and George Miller is getting very old. And it's like, man, please keep making more movies, because I don't know how much more time you got. Like, he keeps saying he wants to make one more Mad Max movie called The Wasteland, and it's like, please, 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 please let this man make another movie.
Like, I don't. Yeah, you can't. Furiosa and Fury Road are just so wonderful. And then, like we said, the same thing when we saw Furiosa. Afterwards, I was like, just give me more. I'll take whatever you want to serve me in that environment.
I you know, I talk a lot about theater experiences, and obviously, like, you know, we talk a lot about what movies mean to us, and like, I feel like all of us can think about different movies and how they impacted us in our lives. And I just remember, like, not to make it more grandiose than I need to, but like, I just remember, I mean, I went to a midnight screening of Fury Road. And I was like shaking getting out of theater. I was so excited. Like, that movie made me so fucking pumped. Like, I want to say that I saw it the very next night. Like, I went and saw it again because I was just like so like hyped up over that movie. Like, and that, you know, I like a lot of movies, but like Fury Road is like on a whole nother level. Like, that is a movie that's going to live with me for a long time.
I miss being excited for a midnight release. Like, I don't think I've got that in me anymore.
Well, I don't really have them anymore. They don't really do it anymore.
But I don't even know what would get me out for it anymore.
Oh, like,
this day and age.
Like,
used to be Marvel movies.
Like, I got a ticket to Deadpool Wolverine 7:30 Thursday. It's like perfect.
Yeah, even better. Yeah, when you didn't have to see it midnight Friday and they start showing it on Thursday, like, nice.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm glad. Let me just be right out on Front Street. I'm glad that the midnight thing is over. Like, let me see the shit as early as possible. Hey, a 6:30 showing on a Wednesday night, perfectly fine with me. I don't need to stay up till midnight anymore. I'm an old man.
And I think the Marvel movies used to be go see a midnight show, like the first Avengers. Remember the first Avengers?
Oh, yeah.
Seeing that at midnight?
We saw it, I want to say. I want to say that we saw pretty much all of the big Marvel movies together, the first run ones anyway.
But then they churned out so many of them. There's too many.
Yeah, they've lost their specialness. And that's why, like, I'm excited for Wolverine, Deadpool and all, but like, I'm not that like, it's fine.
You're not
like,
midnight just, release excited.
No, and I think it's going to be a fun movie, but I think that first wave of Marvel movies up until Endgame, I think that's lightning in a pan. I don't think you're ever going to get that again. It's also something that, I mean, it sounds silly to say, but it's something that like you're going to be able to express to your kids. Like, no, that feeling that for that span of time, that what, like 10 year span, like it really was special. And that's, I don't think you're ever going to be able to replicate that.
Nope. And that stinks, but that's life, baby. That's everything I watched.
I only watched one thing. I want to say
One
I watched
thing.
more, but I don't remember. So if something comes to me, I will let you know. I watched a movie by Damien McCarthy called Oddity on Saturday.
Oh, people are like, if you like, I literally saw an article. It was like, oh, if you like long legs, you're gonna love Oddity.
I don't really see that. If you like, so first of all, Damien McCarthy made a little movie called Caveat that I loved. I thought was really cool.
Okay.
Caveat is a very fucking weird ass horror movie where the central conceit of that movie is basically this guy gets paid to watch this like mentally ill woman that lives in this house where somebody got murdered, but then he gets there and he's told that he has to wear this fucking vest that's chained to the middle of the house, so he can only go so far in the house. I don't want to give anything
Okay.
away because the movie goes so many weird ass directions. Like it's like almost like a Yorgos Lanthimos movie with its rules. Like it's got this weird, again, a very odd central premise, and then it kind of goes from there. And it's very creepy and very old school horror movie. Like I liked it a lot. And then so this is his second film, Oddity. And Oddity is also a very weird, creepy, kind of gothic movie with a very strange central premise. And I thought it was really good. I didn't like, I felt like the way that the movie is structured, it kind of took a little punch out of the ending for me. 'Cause like, so first of all, from the trailer shows this creepy looking guy that lets this woman into a, he's like knocks on this woman's door and he's like, she's like, why are you here? And he looks fucking crazy. And he's like, there's somebody in the house. You gotta let me in so I can help you or whatever. And then it like cuts to like 20 years later or whatever it is. And there's a sister who's a twin sister, and she's trying to investigate the murder of her sister and what happened. So from the trailer, you would assume this is going to be like a ghost story, murder mystery kind of thing.
Okay.
And well, again, I am dancing around the movie because I'm not spoiling it, but it's not that really. It's almost like this weird supernatural revenge movie. Like it's not
Okay.
really a murder mystery because the mystery is kind of laid out like very fast. And I thought it was interesting. I thought it was different. I love the atmosphere. I love the house. The house that they that that it's almost a bottle movie. The house that this movie takes place in is fucking creepy as shit. And there's a lot of really great cinematography just in the house. And the house is almost like a character of itself. And I should say that the weirdness comes so that the sister that was murdered, her sister is a twin and she's blind, but she's also like this curator of cursed items. Like, remember that Rick and Morty episode with the cursed item
Yes.
store? So like she runs that store, right? And she basically like she's got like she says she's like a clairvoyant, and she's like basically like a wizard kind of. Like she is in touch with like the other side. Like that's how it's kind of described.
Okay.
So when she goes in to investigate this murder in this house, you can already tell that like she is knows more than she's letting on. And it's not a spoiler because it's on a poster. She brings this life-size wooden golem man
Yeah, I keep seeing that on all the promotional material.
that's just
He
kind of there through the movie, and it's creepy as fuck. And I don't know. I liked it a lot. I think the ending is it kind of flubs the ending a little, but to me it's still like a solid like 8 out of 10. Like I enjoyed it a lot. I recommend everybody watch it. It is a very like Tales from the Crypt kind of story, like very like old EC Comics Tales from the Crypt, because the villains are very like mustache twirly. Like the guy's motivation's it's a little arch, but
Right.
also like there's a lot of cool visuals. Like the wooden man, super cool. The castle, super cool. There is they flash back to when the sister gets murdered. The murderer is wearing this fucking creepy ass like this like porcelain mask that's fucking terrifying. It's like a porcelain mask, but the eye holes are like really small, so it kind of looks like that mask from Nightbreed. You've seen Nightbreed,
Okay.
right? It's
Yeah.
fucking creepy as hell. I don't know. It's a fun, creepy horror movie. I don't know if everyone's gonna love it. I thought it was pretty fun. I like Caveat more, but I would definitely recommend it. So yeah, check out Oddity. It's a Shudder original, so it'll probably be on Shudder in like weeks, because this was a movie that literally had, it was at AMC theaters, but every theater I looked at had two screenings. So it's probably already out of the theater. This is another like boy versus world situation, or boy kills world movie.
Did you ever watch that, by the way?
I've still yet to watch it. I've been meaning to. So, that's all I watched. Let's get into Long Legs. I'm going to say this right now. If you haven't seen Long Legs, turn the episode off. Go see it. Wait till it comes out on demand. I'm sure it won't be long. Come back to this episode, because I don't feel like we can do this movie justice without spoiling the movie. Wouldn't you agree, guys? Trying to talk around this
movie. Talking around the central conceits of this movie is going to be hard.
Now, let me ask you a question before we get into the meat and potatoes of Long Legs, directed by Oz Perkins, who I'm a big fan of. Goggs, you aren't as keen on the Black Coat's Daughter as I am. But did you ever see...
It does have Black Coat's... I didn't realize, actually, that this was the same guy.
It has that one actress that's in the Black Coat's. She's in the mental hospital. She's the... One of the girls from Black Coat's Daughter.
Yeah. But I didn't realize that was the case. And
yeah, same guy.
To be fair.
Also, the devil visage is very similar to the one he uses in Black Coat's Daughter.
To be fair, my major problem with the Black Coat's Daughter is, you know, admittedly stupid, but it is a little confusing. I do like that movie.
Okay.
And now I should revisit it, but I do like
I really like that movie a lot. Like, did you ever see Gretel and Hansen? He did that movie as well. That movie's also very good, in my opinion.
Is that available anywhere? I'll watch that.
It's on the Plex. I put it on the Plex. But anyway, I really like Oz Perkins a lot. I think he's very talented. I think he's kind of underrated. He's also the son of Tony Hopkins, star of Psycho, which is pretty wild.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Also, the movie Long Legs, like, this is a direct allegory to a lot of what's happened in his life. Because if you think about it, the movie is about a family secret and trying to cover it up. And then it like, no matter what, the secret's going to come out eventually, and you're going to have to deal with it. Basically, and it's sad, but Anthony Perkins, you know, closeted gay man. And then he dies of AIDS in like 1987. So like, that's when it came out. Like his parents tried to, you know, I don't like to use the word protect, but you know, back in those days, things were a lot more intolerant. So them trying to keep, you know, his father's secret away from him and then causing them a lot of damage. I mean, you can see the parallels between what happens in Long Legs and that. So I think that I also think that's interesting. I always like it when, you know, I hate the phrase elevated horror, but I like in any movie when it feels a little bit more personal from the filmmaker, right? Like, I feel like you're going to get better art if it's something that connects more deeply to the filmmaker, at least in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
No, you know what I mean? Otherwise, you're just Zack Snyder. And you're like,
like more explosions and speed ramp.
Put more rape in there.
This thing needs so many more speed ramps.
Isn't it funny that Zack Snyder makes bad movies and he thinks the thing that's going to fix the bad movie is more bad movie? Like, it's too short. That's the problem.
Well, he doesn't... It's wild that he's had the track record. You know, it's wild that stuff keeps getting, like, financed.
I think a lot about Zack Snyder, but I was thinking about this the other day. Do you think the reason that he always wants to make his movies so fucking long is because, like, classic films are always very long, like Ben-Hur.
He's probably thinking, like, oh, I'm the next
Lawrence Coppola.
I need to shoot, like, there was how many weeks or years worth of film that were shot for...
Oh, yeah, Apocalypse Now.
Right? So he's like, well, that's the mark of a good filmmaker, is to make these big, epic... Like, he hasn't learned simply that brevity and this is
soul of wit.
So this is coming from somebody who just loves excess.
Oh yeah.
But like, you gotta learn, even I in my dabblings into what have you, have learned that occasionally less truly is more.
True. Absolutely true.
Zack Snyder has yet to discern this, and his answer is always
more is more.
I mean, not for nothing, from a conservation of mass perspective, he is correct. More is more. But from an art perspective, he needs to be able to go.
You said mass, and this reminded me, but Bill Duke passed away from Predator. Yeah, sorry. R.I.P.
Also, Commando. What a real king.
Also from Mandy. Remember, he was in Mandy.
Also in Mandy. And yeah. What else movie he's showing that I'm just like, he just shows up as like a broken old, maybe it was just Mandy. No, fuck it. Oh, he is Mandy. I was thinking of Becky. He's not in Becky. He's in Mandy.
He would have been good in Becky. But anyway, let's get into Long Legs. Sorry. As we talk about how we should keep things short, we've gone on and on and on. But whatever. It's a two-man show. So, it's a little now, more freeform.
The young woman who's in the lead in this movie.
Micah Monroe.
I don't think I've seen her in anything else, but she was in God Is a Bullet, which you've watched, correct?
I have not watched God Is a Bullet. It's on the Plex. But you've seen her. Didn't you watch It Follows? She's in that.
Oh!
She's in a movie I really like called Watcher, which I highly recommend. Was she the lead in It Follows? She's the lead girl in It Follows.
Familiar. Okay.
She's in The Guest. Did you ever watch The Guest? You love The Guest. You need to watch it. If you haven't seen The Guest. I'll put The Guest on the Plex. You need to watch The Guest, dude. You'll love it. It's so good. She's great.
Who made The Guest?
Adam Wingard.
Yeah, I know you guys talk about
it. Dan Stevens is in it. You'd like it a lot. I think you'd like it a lot.
I would like to. That sounds like fun.
I will put it on the Plex. I will not say anything else about it because it is a movie that starts out and you're like, oh, it's this kind of movie. And it changes so hard, you're like, what the fuck? But it works. It's one of the rare times a movie like really fucks with its genre and it kills it. It's I love that movie so much.
Well, I love Dan Stevens. So anyway, do we want to do our normal thing and just go blow for blow on Long Legs, or do we want to just sort of talk through conceit of the plot and then, I mean. Movie opens, right?
We don't have to do like a... It's up to you. Well, follow your heart.
Okay. So the movie opens, and they do this throughout the movie, which I thought was... I really enjoyed. I thought it was very cool. Mm-hmm. Whenever they do a flashback, the aspect ratio of the film changes.
I love that.
First of all, I love an old 8mm square framing.
I thought that was super cool. And I also love, like... In the very beginning of the movie, like the very first like sequence of the movie, it's in that aspect ratio. And I meant to ask you, and this ties into what I'm talking about. What was your familiarity with the promotional material for this movie before you got into watching it? Because I have been following this movie like intently for over a year now.
Last week when you were like, hey, you should see Long Legs, uh-huh. That is when I was like, what? And then I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, this trailer looks bananas. And then I was like, yeah, we can go see it. And then when you said you wanted to see it again, I was like, oh, it must be good because TJ wants to see it a second time.
So I guess, were you aware that they were like purposely, like you should look it up on YouTube if you get a chance, but there's so many great, the marketing for this movie is, regardless of what you think about the movie, this movie hands down has had the best marketing I have ever seen for a film in my entire life. So there is a really cool, they were trying to basically obscure what Nicolas Cage looks like. He's not in any of the promo material. Some of his voice.
I didn't know he was in the movie until I told him I was going to see it, and someone said, Nick Cage. I was like, Nick Cage?
Look this up on YouTube. There is a promo that they put out where they're like, this is Micah Monroe's resting heart rate, which is like, I forget what it is, like 89 or something like that. I can't remember. Just name a number. I can't remember. Yeah. But then they're like, this is her heart rate when she first saw Nicolas Cage in the long legs makeup, and it's in the interrogation scene. But in the fucking trailer or the commercial, they black out they put a big black bar, like in like a true crime thing, over his face, so you can't see it. But then they have a microphone on her fucking heart, and you can hear her heart. Fuck, I'm like, this is a genius. They put a fucking billboard out, right? They put a billboard out that doesn't even have the fucking Longlegs name on it. It just has a phone number, and if you call it, it's Nick Cage. That's like, here's the birthday girl. Like, come on, it's so good. They have a website that's talking about the birthday murders, and it's all the murders that they talk about in the movie, but it's actually like crime scene photos and like the files and like all of Longleg's notes, like all his ciphers or whatever. All this shit's just out there on the internet, and I loved it. And I thought, as someone that has been like, just, I have been so invested in, and also like, Gogs, look up if you can.
I'm looking at the birthday murders. I'm looking at birthdaymurders.net right now.
Dude, it's so awesome.
Dude, I remember when movies used to do this. This is brilliant.
I know. It's great. It's very. So anyway, you don't have to look it up because it's in the movie. But you remember the 911 call in the movie where you hear the father and he's like, it's my daughter, but it's not really my daughter. And it's like, it's best to do it when she's sleeping. So the first trailer for Longlegs, the very first thing they released is that voiceover with a picture of this family, a static image of the family, and then it just cuts. No name, no date, nothing. My point is that I have been invested, like the marketing has been so good, and I was so invested in the fucking movie just based on the marketing that I thought that them showing Longlegs' face for like 2 seconds in the very beginning of the movie was fucking genius, because we have been waiting and waiting and waiting to see what he looks like. And then you see him and it's like, oh, it's so good. Like, I thought that opening scene is one of the creepiest fucking scenes I've ever, like, I just felt the whole movie, full stop, I think is a masterclass in making you feel uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable through that whole fucking movie. Like, even after watching it the second time, I just feel uneasy. And it's one of those movies where I got anxiety, even though I know what's going to happen. The way that the movie is framed, there's so much central framing in the movie. Your eyes are always darting to the edges of the screen to see, like, what the hell is coming up. You know what I mean? And I felt like from right the beginning, like right off the bat, you're hitting a fucking home run. Like, I thought it was the perfect way to establish the tone of this movie.
So I'm still on the website, right? How much did you explore this website?
Pretty extensively.
Did you click on the ciphers at the bottom?
Not only did I click on the ciphers, but I'm on a Reddit where they deciphered all of the ciphers before.
Because
the
it was
movie.
Like I clicked it, all of a sudden I downloaded a 43.8 megabyte file.
Oh yeah, it's wild.
But it's all in like goofy talk.
It's in that language that he was writing in the notes,
but it's all password protected. Why is it all password protected?
How cool!
What password
that?
Is it?
I don't remember. You look it up on Reddit after we get off, because people have.
This is brilliant. This is a masterclass in how to do this,
right?
Well, anyway, the movie opens with a flashback, and I will say this. I'm going to give myself like a hint of credit. And maybe this is plainly obvious to everyone else, but
you're gay.
The scene in the movie where, so this little girl encounters this weirdo in the snow, and then the movie cuts. And now we're in, I'll get to it in a second. Now we're at an FBI briefing.
Well, actually, no, we're in 1993 or something.
Clinton is president. Willie, so, with all the smooth talk. Because this is another one of those movies that wouldn't work with cell phones, necessarily.
Yeah, true. It's just taking place in the 90s. I don't know. There's something about it. Making it a period piece adds something more to it. I don't know why. It just feels better.
And you know, you get, it's grittier, it feels like. It's heavier. Like, this is going to sound like a real weird conceit. But at some point they get out of like a, I think it's like a Ford Thunderbird or something, or Mercury Grand Marquis, and they open up the door and the chime for your, just hearing the chime of you left the keys in the car, And I was like, I haven't heard that in decades. Like,
we old.
So anywho, we old. So we're at this briefing, and the guy's like, this dude's like, hey, you know, we're going to do this. No one's going to be happy about it, but we're going to canvas this neighborhood street by street, door by door. We're going to find this guy, blah, blah, blah. Here's who we're looking for. Yada, yada, yada. Right. And then I thought, I initially thought, I was like, oh, they're looking for this long legs guy.
Right. Right.
Like, this is who they're clearly trying to, like, this is going right. This, we're going right for it.
No, this is basically a cold open, more or less.
Yeah. So our Clarice Starling, played by Micah Monroe, excuse me. She also the guy Blair Underwood, who he's a storied actor. He's been in a lot.
Oh, that guy's been in a ton of stuff. Yeah, he's great in this movie too. I thought he did a really.
Oh, he's tremendous in this movie. She's on patrol with this other guy, and they're in like this nondescript tract home. Like straight out of the 90s, all the houses look the same. They're all a stone's throw apart. And they're like, all right, I'm going to start. This dude's like, all right, I'll knock on the doors. You wait in the car. Like, whatever, let's do this thing. And then she kind of springs up. She's like, he's in there. And he's like, how the hell do you know that? She just knows. And he's like, okay, well, she's like, we should call him backup. He's like, I'm not calling on backup for a hunch. She's like, I'm just knock on the door. They walk up the front door. Dude bangs on the door, says FBI, and then gets his brains blown open.
Yeah, he gets brained immediately.
And then this is sort of a brilliant choice. She stalks her way through this guy's house, and it's like everything's covered in like sheet, like plastic.
Sheet. Yeah.
And like, I don't know what dude was up to. I don't know if he was another serial killer, and this was how he set up. Like, I don't know, but she catches him in the bedroom with his hands over his head. They arrest him, but you never find out anything further about him.
No.
About what this was even all about, but it's like eerie and tense. And after the dude gets shot, she's like, I'm sure this was an intentional choice, but it made me just so uncomfortable.
Yes. Like, yes.
Like, she's like catching her breath and like braced up against a wall, but she's braced up against a window.
Yeah.
So at the same time, she's like protected against the wall, but her entire back is exposed, and you're just like.
Well, I think one thing that I've seen people criticize this movie about, they criticize Micah Monroe's character, but like what they're showing you is in the very very beginning of the movie, she is clearly a traumatized person. Like I feel like even before the partner gets shot, you can tell something is off with her. Like she's not. You know what I mean? And then by the time you get to the end of the movie, you're like, oh, this is why she's not quite right.
Yeah, she's not a complete person.
And one thing that I got, see that right there is a brilliant choice of words, right? Because by the time you learn at the end of the movie, she really isn't complete. There's not part of her is not there. And I think that's brilliant. And I think a lot of people are missing that in the film when they critique the film because I've seen people. I made a TikTok about it. A lot of people are like, well, her character lacks definition. I'm like, I think it's all there. I think you're just choosing not to see it or you're not paying enough attention. Like Micah Monroe's like kind of weird traumatized autism is intentional. Like that is an intentional choice. She is not, you know what I mean? It's not just, she's a bad actress. Like that is fleshing out that character. So
yeah, she is lacking. Exactly. So anyway, this happens, and then word comes around, I guess, that she just figured out where this dude was, and so she gets put into, like, some sort of Voight Kampf or whatever. I was trying to remember what the words were from Blade Runner, where they're doing the word association.
Very similar scene, though. And also, like, something that I watched on my YouTube that pointed it out, like, her using the word like mother and father is kind of ominous in this case. That's again something you don't pick up on first viewing, but second viewing you're like, oh, okay, it's kind of interesting. But yeah, I that scene is very weird and I loved it because I'm like, it's very odd. Like I remember like I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then them explaining that it's some kind of like psychic aptitude test. I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah. So they figure out like she. So then they turn her on to this long legs case. And this case has been going on since I think it was 20 years, 30 years, 10 victims.
Yeah, it was like
whatever it was.
The 70s, I think, right? something right. like that.
And it's unsolved. It doesn't make any sense. Well, obviously it's unsolved, but like there's no physical evidence tying who. It looks like a string of murder suicides, but it's all connected by this, like this script or this cipher, or these words that are like these letters that are found kind of like some, like, Sam, whatever.
Or like Zodiac, like the Zodiac.
Zodiac, yeah. I was going to say Summer of Sam. I almost said Serious Sam. Shout out to Serious Sam.
Serious Sam, good games.
So, like, there's this weird cipher in all of these things, and there's this connecting thread, and it'll, like, they're driving around, and, like, the Blair Underwood's, like, said something about, and it's like, well, you got eight right on the random number guessing thing. And she's like, well, I got eight wrong too. He goes, well, half a psychic's better than no psychic. And I'm like, all right.
I did like that line. Yeah, that's a good line.
So he turns her loose on this case and she starts connecting we don't have to get into all the ins and outs, but like she starts connecting. No. She finds the connecting thread here. And it's all about birthdays and Satan worship it's like numerology. And then, like, the movie's broken into three parts. So the first part's this bit. And then she gets, like, invited to this part I didn't, like, the time mm-hmm. that the movie takes place in is actually a lot more compressed than I realized.
Again, something that you're going to pay more attention to on a second viewing, but they, like, hammer home the dates. It's something I didn't pick up on my first viewing either, but then watching it this time, I'm like, oh. Like, it's like pretty much...
Yeah. The whole movie takes place in what, like 3 days, 4 days?
Yeah, 3 days, if that. Yeah, it's very quick.
Because Blair Underwood's daughter invites her to her birthday party, which I thought the daughter said was tomorrow, but maybe it was like 3 days from now. Whatever.
I don't know if she says the exact date, but yeah, it's a couple of days. Like everything happens very fast. Like this movie definitely takes place like within a week.
Like, yeah. So then you find out like about all these, one of the connecting threads with all of these things is they all had daughters. Everyone of the families that was murder suicide had daughters that had a birthday that fell on the 14th of a month.
It's the 14th, right? It's the 14th. It was within like six or.
Oh, but it's always within 6 days. The murders happen within 6 days of the 14th.
Right.
And then she like.
Also, we find out that our main character Lee Harker, her birthday falls on that day as 14th. Well.
Right. Yeah. So this is the part, right? So after you meet the lead investigator, and then you go back to Lee Harker's house, and like she's driving, and she like looks over her shoulder at this old house on the hill, which in retrospect may not actually be there.
Yeah, possibly.
Because it looks like the house from the beginning of the movie, which is her house. And that's where I was like, oh, she's the little girl from the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And
also I was kind of confused. I was like, wait, does she live right next to that house? But I don't know. They don't really address it in the rest of the movie.
No, cause she drives away to go
that's
there.
True.
Later.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But like she does make a point to look at it.
Well, also like
in the distance
in that scene where she looks off, there's like a guitar or something. There's some kind of noise.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a guitar. It's hard to tell. I was trying to pay more attention this time to figure out what it was, but I still don't know. But I did notice, and I'm skipping ahead a lot, but in the background in Longlegs, like apartment, lack of a better term, he does have a guitar. So I don't know if that was that or what. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Well, anyways, that's the point where I was like, oh, I think she's the little girl from the beginning.
Yeah.
And then. Maybe you're supposed to figure that out, but I did. That's what I'm calling it. So then
I kind of guessed it, but I didn't know. Yeah.
So then she goes back into her house and she's figuring stuff out. And she calls her mom, and her mom's very cryptic and weird. And
the mom is great. I feel like the mom kind of steals the show with this movie.
Is the mom
That's Alicia Witt. She was the little baby in David Lynch's Dune. She's been in a bunch of stuff. She was in. She was in Twin Peaks. She's been in a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
I thought she was great.
Greatness.
And there's like, there's something to her affect, like the way that she acts, like, again, another one that's like super traumatized, but you don't really know why. And then I like later on in the movie when she kind of flips the switch and she's more aware. She's even scarier then. Like, I don't know. She was in Urban Legend. She's been in a ton of movies. She's had a huge career.
Now, what? I forget. I do want to rewatch this movie because I think a second viewing would help.
Also, she is not bad looking at all.
What?
Good job, Alicia.
What was it that drew the FBI? Did she get a phone call and that's what drew her out of the house?
To go
into the woods and like search around?
No, she got a knock at the door. There was
something. There's a pound, pound, pound at the door.
She had a knock at the cabin, as you would.
And then she went out to investigate it. But when that happens, Longlegs sneaks into her house and leaves her a birthday card.
Yes.
That says that basically she's able to decipher. And then
also this
he is basically he basically gives her the code because he writes it in human speak, and then he puts the code underneath it. And then there's just this horrible, menacing message at the end of it.
Well, also, like, this is also one of my favorite scenes because they do this throughout the movie. So the movie, again, you don't know where Longlegs is. Well, at this point, you don't even know if it is Longlegs. You assume it is because he left the note. Well, like, you still don't know if he's in the house. So there's all this kind of ambient music in the background. And then she's on the phone. And for a brief second, there's, like, this fucking black figure behind her that goes away and, like,
there's a lot of that.
Love it. Yeah. Love that kind of stuff. And it's the devil.
Yeah. So then
this movie renewed my love of Satan, by the
way. Oh, good. He needed that. I'm sure he felt underappreciated.
With my copy of Anton LaVey's The Devil's Notebook right here.
There you are.
We were all 17 once. It's a terrible book. Don't read it. It's awful.
Well, anyway, so she starts deciphering the codes and figuring this thing out, and they're like, look, here's the deal. Here's the deal.
Longlegs is Rush Limbaugh.
I think this is also part one. Then part two starts up.
Yes.
And then you actually get to see Longlegs on his own, like, kind of going to like a he goes to like a hardware store. He's like driving in his car.
Well, you learn that he goes to that hardware store to get doll parts, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's just being a weirdo. Well, I guess did they find the doll first?
Did they find the doll? I can't remember. You find the doll until the second part.
Right. So then you get to see Longlegs in his element. He's fucking bizarre. It's Nick Cage just eating scenery, right? So then, she deciphered all the letters, and it's like, oh, X marks the spot at the Carson home or whatever.
Yeah,
and
you're right. Yeah.
And they kind of figure out, okay, there's X's, they find whatever, he's toying with them, right? It's very Silence of the Lambsy in a lot of ways.
So this is also where you find out that the father is the father in all the families is the one that takes out the rest of the family. They do all the killing. Yeah. And you also find out that you do a lot of, I really like these flashbacks. They do a lot of flashbacks to the murders, which I thought were really cool. And again, I've seen a lot of people complain about this, but if Lee has a connection to Longlegs and these murders, and she's somewhat clairvoyant, so her actually having visions of these murders, I have no problem with. It's actually written into the script to have. You know what I mean? I thought it was kind of interesting. Also, at first, again, I'm jumping around a little bit, but at first, I thought a lot of these visions were from the perspective of the doll, but I actually think they're from the perspective of Lee's mom. I don't think they're from the doll. I think they're from the mom.
You're right, because she's bearing witness. Well, some of them are from the doll.
Some of them, but I think a lot of them, the majority of them are from Lee's
mom. There was at least one where there's an unveiling, and that had to have been from the doll's perspective.
Well, sure. Right? Yeah, right.
But anyway, so they find this weird doll in this barn. And this doll is like this beautiful porcelain doll. It's like human size. And inside it is like a weird metal sphere that's hollow, but it emits radio frequencies or something. Because they like held up they held up something to it. I don't know what. And it starts picking up static and noise. And what does the guy at the evidence lab say? He said, I heard it say something.
He said he thought he heard it say his ex-wife's name.
Yeah.
And he's again, like, I think that's interesting because they don't ever describe, you know, his relationship with his ex-wife. But like, if the devil is in all this stuff, like maybe it's putting bad thoughts in his head about his ex-wife. Like that's kind of an interesting little thing there.
Right, like this thing, like what the hell is all this about? And then you find out that, so just to cut to the chase, you find out he makes these dolls.
Oh, you know what's crazy? I keep going because I literally just put something together that I never really thought about until just now. But it's gonna relate to what you talk about in a minute, so I'll say it then.
So you find out that like you make these dolls, and these dolls, there's some connection between these dolls and the murder. It's like, so what is this about? Like, what does this doll represent? What does it do? And they're like, listen, we're coming up on to for this pattern to work, for to close the loop, we need to have a death. The birthday may be the 14th, but the death needs to happen on the 13th. Like it doesn't mean they're going to die on the right. So what's the, how do we link all this up? And then she goes and visits her mom. Her mom's a hoarder.
Well, no, the FBI agent, this is the part where Blair Underwood's like, your mom called in a, oh wait, did they go to the mental institution first? I think you're
skipping. Oh, that's right, because yeah, they find out there was only ever one survivor of one of these things, and the girl's in like complete catatonia at this mental institution. But the second, they figured out, okay, we're gonna go to the farm first, then we're gonna go visit this catatonic chick. They find this doll, and then the next day, the same day, the instant when they found the doll, this girl snaps out of her catatonic.
No, incorrect. She didn't come out of her catatonic state until, so they get there, they get to the mental institution, but there was a visitor before them,
yes,
who you can extrapolate was long legs. That's when, yes, she came out of her catatonic state. And the thing that I never really thought of is that the reason she comes out of her catatonic state, and because long legs still has control over her, because they never destroyed the brain in that doll.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, remember, like not too long from this scene, the Harker is told that she kills her, the mental patient kills herself.
Throws herself off, yeah.
But that's because she's still under control of the devil or long legs or whatever.
See, I thought that I thought it was like sort of like them finding the doll, like set off an alarm bell that simultaneously woke the girl up, and then he visited her once that happened.
See, I took it more as she didn't wake up until Longlegs got there. Also, this scene is kind of funny because they're like, the FBI agents are like, who was there? And it's Lee Harker's name. And then she's like, does your guy check IDs? And the guy's like, well, that is a good idea.
That's a good idea, but no. And like the girl from the mental institution, like she's like crazy and threatening and kind of evil.
Great scene, by the way. Apparently, her whole monologue was written by her, the actress, the day of the shoot.
Oh, wow.
And okay. I thought she did a great job. She is also in Black Hood's Daughter. She's an actress in that as well. So,
forgive me. What sent Lee to her mother after that? Did the girl say something of fact? Did the girl drop some breadcrumb?
After they leave there, you have a scene with Parker and the Blair Underwood character, whose name eludes me right now. And I guess he is grilling her because he's like, there's something you're not telling us because we dug some dirt on your mom, and your mom called in a 911 call on this day or whatever, and you need to go back and talk to your mom. And that's why she goes back.
All right, a strange man. And we also found out your birthday's on the 14th because she had not volunteered that.
Right.
So then she goes home. And she finds out, she digs through her old personal possessions, and then they do it through a series of flashbacks or whatever. But like, and when, like in the first scene, when she walks out to greet whoever this person is, she has an old Polaroid instant camera around her neck, and she flips through some Polaroids and she finds a picture of Longlegs. And then that starts a manhunt, and then the manhunt, and the way they do the manhunt is brilliant because they just cut right to the chase, and they just, like, he's at a bus stop, and he just gets surrounded by police. So now there's a couple of interrogation scenes that are dope, and I won't do them justice by explaining them.
Oh, so right? Good.
Like, it's like,
some of the best parts of the movie, in my opinion. Just
it's VHS tape of just of Nick Cage just being Nick Cage. And then she's like, well, let me go talk to him.
About that scene, extra creepy about that scene, is something, again, I didn't pick up on. He looks directly at at Blair Underwood, and he's like, "You'll be there, and Mike Monroe will be there." Like he again, like the cool thing about this movie, one of the cool things about this movie, I think, is that everything is orchestrated. Like everything that we watch in this movie is planned out, well in advance, and I think that's one of the things that I think is cool about it. But like the fact that like Longlegs knows like kind of beyond, he has like perception beyond perception. I think that shit's fucking dope as shit. Like it makes it even creepier.
Yeah. So, she goes to talk to him, and then he basically like he acts like a creep, and then kind of spills the beans a little bit, and then he's like, "Hail Satan!" Then he smashes his face to pieces, and it's gross.
So he said something in this monologue that I didn't really pay attention to the first time, and I did this time, where he asks what she's at. He basically is talking about her mom, and he's like, he said like she didn't laugh as much as I, like she's like he Longlegs is talking about when you decided to become a law enforcement, we had a long laugh about it. And he's like, "Well, I laugh more than she." And then Harker's like, "Well, who's she?" And he says the seventh she, the she that had the same choice as all the others. So I wonder, is there like a long lineage of like other accomplices to Longlegs, or like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like that. I know that's a little piece of dialogue that I didn't really pick up on the last time.
Well, because you feel like, well, let's wrap it up, and then we'll go back and dissect that a little bit, because I have some thoughts on like the whole thing as far as the timeline is concerned. And then she's like, she comes to the realization her mom's in on it, and she goes and sees her mom.
Well, you missed the Longlegs.
Oh, the central conceit. Longlegs smashes.
But Longlegs himself. Like Micah Monroe's like, "Well, you're done. You're gonna rot in jail for a long time. Your work is finished." And he's like, "Well, no, I'm not." He's like, "My work is done, but I'm gonna be a little bit of everywhere." So like again, part of his plan, and he literally takes his face and smashes his face against the table till he dies. And at one point, like, so we haven't really gotten into how Longlegs looks, but he looks like this weird Michael Jackson faced kind of guy. And at one point, like, I thought it was such a great prosthetic effect, but his like nose, his like fake nose, literally like caves off. It's like so disgusting.
Oh, it's gross.
And you just see like his like nose cavity. It's so nasty.
Then you find out, right? She goes and she go to see her mom at this point.
The FBI, Blair Underwood is pissed because he feels like they just fucked up. And Blair Underwood still doesn't think he doesn't think there's anything supernatural going on. He doesn't believe it. He doesn't think there's an accomplice, blah, 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 blah. And to him, we just lost the entire case. Like, he's dead. Those people died for nothing. So then this other FBI agent is like, "I'm going to go see your mother with you. Like, after you've seen that, somebody needs to be with you." And of course, as soon as that woman showed up in the scene, I was like, "Oh, she's fodder." Like I saw that coming a mile away, but that's just old horror movie stuff right there. So anyway, go ahead. They go to see her mom.
And then, so the woman, so she goes to find her mom. The other FBI agent gets blown away by her mom, who's dressed up like a nun. In a
great fucking scene. Like, so you know how I said earlier how there's a lot of central framing and it makes your eyes kind of dart around the screen? So her mother kind of materializes out of the top of the screen. She's there the whole time. You don't really see her. And then she like slightly moves and you're like, "Oh shit." And she's got a shotgun and she just point blank just brains this other FBI agent. Also, I think, I don't know if we've mentioned it, but previously when Harker goes back to her childhood home, there's a door that she can't get to. There's like a cockroach comes out of it, but she can't get into it. She tries to, but then her mother in the other room like distracts her and she has to go away from it. So that door plays very huge here in a couple of minutes.
Right. So then is this when does the whole central conceit of Longlegs makes, he shows up, he presented her with a choice, like instead of killing her daughter.
Basically here, what happens is the FBI agent gets shot. Then Micah Monroe goes to confront her mother. Her mother has the doll of Harker, the girl, little girl Harker, out pointing the shotgun at her, and Micah Monroe's like, "What the fuck is that?" And then She's like, you know, whatever his real name is, like Cobble or something, right? She's like, mm-hmm. Cobble is dead. And she's like, oh, he's free. You freed him, is what she mm-hmm. says. And she's like, well, now you're free too. And she shoots the doll with the shotgun. She blows the head off the doll.
A doll that's then, dressed up like her when she first met
a Cobble. Child. Yeah. And then you see this black smoke come out of the doll's head. And then it cuts cross cuts to Micah Monroe, who also has black smoke coming out of her head. Then she wakes up in Longlegs' room that you've seen throughout the movie. And that's when you find out that Longlegs' room is literally in the house Micah Monroe grew up in. I thought that was cool, like, because we haven't mentioned this either, but Longlegs kind of refers to Satan as the man downstairs, which is a great fucking name for Satan, by the way. But he mm-hmm. literally was the man downstairs.
Yeah. And like, we're downstairs where? It's everywhere.
Also, something that someone's pointed out a bunch of times. So, Longlegs likes to cuckoo. Like, he goes, mm-hmm. cuckoo. So, well, you're familiar with what a cuckoo bird does, right?
Yeah.
A cuckoo bird goes into another bird's nest, kills all the fuck, or drops its eggs in another bird's nest. So when the babies hatch, it knocks out all the other eggs and then the mother feeds it. That's exactly what he does. He went to their house. He lives in their house. The mother basically takes care of him. So he is in fact a cuckoo bird as well, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. So you find out that she made a deal with him to spare his daughter, her daughter's life. Like, so presumably, right? And this is where I want to talk about timeline. He has shown up to their house back in 19 whenever. Mm-hmm. With a doll made to be Lee, right? And he was there
right?
He was there to deliver that doll. That being said, and I was curious about this, so I wanted to talk to you about this.
Mm-hmm.
In all other instances of this happening, right?
Right.
They deliver the doll, and then so here's what happens. They make a doll, they put some sort of either essence of the child or Satan or Longlegs or some amalgam into like this sphere, right? It becomes this.
Well, it's also success. It's important to remember there's a scene early in the movie that you might have missed because it's very quick, but Lee's mom keeps everything. There she literally goes, she finds a box that has her baby teeth in a bag. And she even says something later on. There's a drop dialogue where the mom says, "I keep everything." So yeah. And she said earlier that she was a nurse. So I think you can maybe extrapolate. Maybe she had access to these other families' kids before, and maybe their personal affects or hair, maybe, possibly.
Oh. Well, so then this doll becomes like a conduit for Satan to come in and corrupt the family. Yes. And then the father will kill everybody, then kill themselves, and then that's part of the ritual, right?
Yeah.
When Longlegs shows up to their house, there's no dad in play.
Yes.
Do you think that threw off his plan some?
That's an interesting idea. Yeah, maybe so. Also, he's the this is the only family where like you see Longlegs like physically manhandle Harker's mom. So maybe that changed the whole trajectory of what the murders were. Maybe he was actually carrying out the murders himself before. I don't know. It's hard to say. Or maybe so, he was witnessing the murders. Because the other thing I'd like to bring up is that there's that scene where Longlegs is just in the car and he's screaming. He's like, "Mom, like I feel like he's in a weird way. He's probably in the same position that the mother's in, where like he's like he was a regular person at some point. And I think
he's made this deal and now he's forced to witness all this.
Right. So maybe you're right. Maybe he was the guy. He was like the mom, where he was just like setting up the murders and witnessing them at some point, and it just broken his brain, because the mom's brain is broken. The other thing that I want to bring up, and some people have brought this up, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but I think it's an interesting theory. So there's the theory is that these people that help Satan are actually embodying like demons, right? Because in the very beginning of the movie, Longlegs says, "I put my long legs on." So maybe they're saying that the demon is like basically taking on this form of this person. Cause also later on in the movie, and again, this is spoiling it a little bit, whatever. When the mom gets shot at the very end of the movie, Harker calls her mom and she goes, "Don't call me that." Or something like, so maybe that's not even like them
something
anymore.
Else was
maybe,
there, right?
Maybe like their humanity goes away and they're not really them anymore. It's like something that they like, kind of like a mask that they wear. I don't know. It's an interesting thought. I kind of like the more grounded, like they've kind of just gone insane, lost their humanity in the way. I don't like the full on like demon possession thing. I think it's a little cheap.
I think so when he was saying, "I put my long legs on," I thought that was just a way for him to be like, "Oh, I'm a big adult. I'm up tall. I can't get down your level because I'm wearing my long legs."
Right.
And then he squats down. It's horrifying, right?
So well, anyway. That is true. That could be that as well.
So, and he's always dealing with children. So, like,
it's anyway. Also pointing out that long legs, the actual name long legs, has like no meaning. Oz Perkins just liked the sound of it. He thought it sounded creepy. And he's
it
like,
does.
He said it sounded creepy. It sounded like something that would be in the 70s. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
So then you find out about all this, like that the mom has been doing this work for this guy and delivering these dolls and bearing witness to these murders to complete this ritual. And we're one away from being done.
Again, this is to go back to way back to what I was saying. This movie is about the sacrifices that we make for our loved ones, right? Like she is doing literally everything. She's sacrificing her entire life to shield her child
and her soul.
Right.
So then you find out that this last birthday is a call. And as soon as they said that the daughter's birthday was the 14th.
Well, hold on. Yeah. Well, this, I love this. I think the last, I, you might disagree with me, but I think the last like 10 minutes of this movie are the best part of the fucking movie. Like I love this final scene. So Parker again, wakes up and long legs is fucking doll factory in the basement, but then there's a phone ringing and then it's this voice that says, "You're late to the birthday party." It sounds a lot less like Macho Man Randy Savage in the movie. But as soon as she's driving to Blair Underwood's house, you're like, "Oh fuck." Like, I don't know about you, but I was like, "Oh my god." Yeah. And this scene is so good. Oh my god, I love this scene so much. So Blair Underwood and his wife meet Harker, and she's freaked out. She's already got her gun drawn. And she's like, "Is everything okay?" And they're acting like nothing is wrong. Everything is fine. Nothing is wrong. She goes into the living room. The little girl is next to the fucking doll. You're like, oh, and her mom is sitting right there. You're like, oh my god.
And it's just so intense. It's so tense. And yes. Like, it's got this like false veneer of everything being okay, well, but like there's this simmering.
Yes.
Like you just know there's this sinister.
I loved the part where the wife is like, she like cracks. She's like smiling, but you can tell there's like part of her that's like trying to break out. Oh, I love that shit. I love that shit. And like Blair Underwood is completely, he's already sold. Like he's literally like, "Yeah, I gotta cut the fucking cake." And the wife is like, "We'll be right back." And she's like, he's like, "I'll be right back. You'll still be in the kitchen."
Yeah.
And then the mother's like, "The woman's already dead. The child has to be next." And you're like, oh my god, it's so good. It's like,
And so so Blair Underwood kills his wife. He comes out. Lee Harker kills her mom and then kills Blair Underwood. And then she can't bring herself to destroy the doll.
No, she shoots. She tries. It clicks.
It clicks repeatedly and it won't go.
Now, I mean, I did the math. She should have had plenty of bullets.
No, so she didn't fire the gun that many times. So
I don't know if it's... I don't
and
know
she kind of like stares at it in disbelief.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like Satan's magic or whatever, but like, yeah, she can't destroy the doll. So now, the ending is super fucked up because now that girl is still... There's still that doll. That doll. So she's still under some kind of control from that doll, if you follow the rules of the movie. And that's it. And then it cuts to Long Legs, who again wins, because this was his whole grand scheme. This whole thing was whole his scheme. It cuts to Long Legs back in the interrogation room, and he's just like, "Hail Satan," and blows a kiss. And that's the movie. Fucking credits. Yeah. Credits roll backwards. Love it.
Now the movie's
I love
wild.
This fucking movie, dude. I thought this movie was great. I bought everything this movie sold to me. I can't get enough of it.
It's wild. It is, I enjoyed it quite a bit. It is weird. But it's the people sitting like three seats down from us,
Oh,
like
they
the guy,
hated it.
they hated
Like,
it.
that was dumb. I'm like, you're dumb. You probably like Smile. That's probably, you probably like Night Swim.
I mean, for what it's worth, thankfully, this movie made on an
Oh,
under $10 million budget, it made a shit ton of money.
it's a huge, it's the biggest, it had the biggest opening weekend of any independent horror film, bigger than Hereditary, which was like the previous winner.
This has similar vibes. This is like
I think so.
Hereditary meets Silence of the Lambs. It's very,
If this came out as an A24, it would have been perfectly, just perfectly A24-ish. It came out from Neon. Neon's great too. We all love Neon. Neon put
Yeah,
out
Neon makes good
Titan
stuff,
a couple years
but like,
ago. Love Titan.
it's ambitious. It's crazy. Nick Cage is nuts in it.
I
Oh, and
love
oh,
how.
to go back to the whole thing
Oh,
about
sure.
being a complete person or not, right? When the doll's head gets blown off, then it's almost like Lee Harker's
It like
entire
runs
personality
back. Yeah.
becomes like a fully fleshed out
Yeah.
thing. She's not like on the spectrum anymore. Like she's kind of like she's there now. Like she's
Yeah.
sort of free of it. And then it all kind of like you're like, and you find out that all this was set in motion, and she's all, and then all the memory. It's like, I think it would very much benefit from a second watch now that I know what to
It
look for.
does. It definitely does. I liked it even more the second time. Like I've actually, this is a movie that's like very divisive, and a friend of mine, she hated the movie so much she said she was embarrassed that she watched it. It's like, okay. Like, I
Oh,
don't know what to
wow.
tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I loved it. I think it's hilarious to me that I keep hearing people say it was predictable. It's like, you predicted the mind-controlled Satan zombie dolls? Like, you
There's
predicted that?
absolutely no possible way you predicted that.
Like, you might have predicted that the mom was the accomplice. Like, good for you, but like the whole storyline you predicted, I do not believe that.
It kept me like I kept guessing. Like I was trying to figure out like how are we gonna wrap? Like how does this end up? I assumed it was like he shows up more like and even allude to it like a Manson-esque sort of thing where he's trying to talk them into doing whatever. But like it is, I don't know, man. It's creepy.
Yeah, I
It's
loved it.
real creepy. And
All
like,
right.
yeah.
Let's get into it. Five knuckle shuffle time. Guys.
I'm gonna give it a 9.
Totally.
It's a little on the weirder end for my taste to like give it a full block, but
Is
I don't know if that
you're
would
really
change about it.
broadening your horizons on that? I was a little worried, actually. When we left the movie, I was a little worried you didn't like it. I was a little worried.
Full disclosure, when I left the movie, I had to like, I came home and Liz was like, how's the movie? I was
Had
like,
to
it was
process it.
weird. I was like, it was really weird. I was like, it's not bad, but like, I can't tell if it's good, but it's not, it's like, it's not bad. It's just like, do,
Right.
is this what I'm into? And like, the more I sat with it and the more I've thought about it, like, the more I'm into it. And I think a second viewing is going
Yeah.
to be of a benefit. Like, I, like, it is in, like, I liked Hereditary from Jump,
Sure.
but
Yeah.
I liked it even more on the second viewing, right? Like, this is in that same vein. It's like, it's so. Even to say it's like Hereditary isn't fair because I don't know if I've ever seen a movie quite like this. And
Yeah, I
it's,
agree.
there's something to be said about that. And so it's just being able to sit there and like, I think the story's cool. I love the way it's acted. I love the way it's shot. It is shot beautifully. I love the way it's directed. Like there's, and it's like creepy and haunting and menacing. And like, then like when you really sit back and think of the implications of what you just saw, it's disturbing. And it's like, but it's not like there might be like one jump scare in the whole thing, maybe.
Yeah, it's a lot of like music cues that are like scary, kind of like in the way of like the music from like The Shining, but like, yeah, there's not like jump scares.
No, but it's like, but it's relying on you. Like it's tense and dreadful and like, but no, it's like if you'd asked me when we left the theater, it was probably a 7, and then since I've been like marinating on it, it's evolved to a 9. You give me another week, it might be a 10. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. It's a movie I haven't been able to stop thinking about since I watched it, which is always a good sign. Like, I just can't stop thinking about this movie, man. Like, that's why I wanted to see it again. Like, I just couldn't stop thinking about the fucking movie.
Yeah, but it's really good, I mean, I'm into it now. Like, your mileage may vary, right? Some people did not care for it, obviously, but like, and that's cool. But like, I thought it was neat, and now just digging into all this other crate, like, I wasn't even privy to this ad campaign.
Oh, so, it's like, so cool.
This shit's amazing. Wild. I mean, I'm gonna go. This is like a deep lore dump that I'm gonna get into because I love that sort of stuff. But no, it is unlike. It is worth, if you like horror and you like creepy satanic things, and it's 100% worth checking out. I'm very interested to see what kind of art you generate as a result of this movie.
I drew a long legs the other day.
Yep. But that's it. TJ.
I fucking love this movie, man. It's a 9 for me, dog. It's almost a 10. 9, very strong 9, bordering on a 10. Mm-hmm. Not quite sure why. It's like, it's not a 10 because I want more, which is right. a very left-handed compliment, but
it's
more.
It's not really a fair conceit, but yeah, I get you.
I just want to be like, I think it's a great movie, and like, I want to be in this world some more. And I know it's probably, you know, it shouldn't happen. Like, there shouldn't be a sequel or anything, but
no, there should not be a sequel.
I just want this world. I want this movie to be another half an hour longer. Cause I just liked it so much. Like I want more flashbacks of the murders. I want like more long legs, really, like, because he's kind of not in the movie that much if you really think about it.
Somebody's gonna pitch a prequel. Someone's gonna be like,
I don't think. Well, this is all Oz Perkins' idea and his baby, so I don't think that's gonna happen.
I'm sure but it's being pitched to him though.
Oh, without a doubt, especially now that it's done so well. But
yeah,
I love this movie, man. I think that, like you said, it's very creative. I feel like it's kind of like it's a Trojan horse, right? Because like, on the surface, you're like, oh, this is like 7. You know what I mean? That's how you get the normies in the door. Like, oh, this is like 7. This is like Silence of the Lambs. And then it's like, oh, it is not. It is not at all. Like, just from the beginning with his weird use of T-Rex throughout this whole movie, which is odd. And just like, a lot of the choices that he made are just very interesting and weird. I loved when this movie chooses to be violent or gory. It is absolutely disgusting. There is a shot that I just love to death where everything is from the perspective of you looking through this door, and the father, like, he kills the priest, and you just see like the axe fly and then the blood fly in the other direction. Or like, that scene ends with the mother who's like obsessed with the doll or the nurse, whoever it is, or the nun, whoever it is there. Mm-hmm. But it's in your perspective. And then the father comes up and like hacks her in the back. Like, oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's just horrific. And the imagery is horrific. I loved, it's kind of understated, but I loved these scenes where you see Parker's mom, like in the aftermath of these murders, and she's just covered in blood. And she's like throwing up, but she's in the nun outfit, and it's very evocative. And like, I don't know, man. I loved it so much. I love the weird, I love the tension of this movie. I even like how when Harker is talking to her mom on the phone, those conversations are like very tense and unnerving. And it's just static and the very quiet voices, but you feel like there's something in between the noise. I don't know how to describe it, but I felt like this movie always made you feel like there's something on the periphery that you're not observing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was brilliant. I love this movie to death. This is definitely going to end up in the top 10. I can't see how it won't, but I thought this movie is fucking incredible. I can't wait to watch it again. I can't wait till this shows up on streaming. I'm sure it won't be too long. Cause again,
no.
Neon.
Well, then the appetite for horror movies, and the appetite for movies in general seems to be very, it seems like you get 2 weeks, maybe, unless you're a bona fide hit. The second your sales start dropping off, they're already looking at streaming revenue and to get you out there as soon as possible.
This one is doing very well. So I don't know. We'll see. But I loved it. I really did. I thought it was great. I can't, like I said, I can't say enough good things about it. It's one of those movies. And again, like, people can think whatever they want. It's one of those movies where if I generally agree with your opinion on movies, I'm shocked that you don't like this movie. Like, I don't really understand, but I mean, whatever, it is what it is. But I personally loved it, and yeah, this gets my a big thumbs up from me. So, and you.
Yeah, no, it's you got a twofer. We got a, it's a certified good ass movie, technically speaking, with our
100%.
limited show.
All right. Well, next week we get to watch Map to the Stars.
I mean, I already
God.
watched it, thank God, but like,
I might have to watch it again because I watched it
I
what
refuse.
two
I
weeks ago
absolutely
now.
fucking refuse. Like, it is. I sat down and watched it last night, and like, they're like thriller comedy. I was like,
It
I
is not
didn't.
funny.
Neither of those words happened for me. I was not
No.
thrilled, nor was I comedied. Like, it was
No.
just
It's awful. It
awful.
is really bad. And I love David Cronenberg, and I don't know
David
what he was.
Cronenberg's a hack. He's a piece
He
of garbage.
certainly not a hack or a piece of
How
garbage.
dare he put this out?
Well, your
Like, what a
crazy ass doesn't like Scanners, which is still weird to me.
scumbag to make this movie. Like, how dare he? And his son, with all the talent in
Oh,
the
I
world,
love. Oh, your son's okay. His
and
son
his
hasn't.
dad is just
Well,
a
his son
half.
hasn't made this movie yet, so yeah.
His dad is just a shit box director with no vision, and this is trash, and that's all there is to
On that note, I am very worried about watching this movie or about talking about this movie because we're either gonna have a lot to talk about or almost nothing to
Oh, there's
talk
a
about.
lot to talk about. It's not good.
I had a hard time staying awake watching the movie, so.
I the things oh it's so bad. It's so I just sat there watching it just like I was like I was actively trying to figure out can I watch this at 1.5 speed? Like how can I get through this faster? Like at
Yeah.
what point will this become interesting? Like it must have to become interesting at some point.
It never does. No, it never. It actually stays the same pace through the entire film. Anyway, you got that to look forward to, guys. Map to the
Yeah.
Stars next week, we promise. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.